Hey now, Adam. What's up?
What's up? How you doing?
Today, happy eclipse day, everybody. Happy eclipse. We're gonna try to be out before the eclipse reaches its maximum point for most of you guys in America land. So you can put on your glasses. Do not do the Trump squint, okay? Use your proper eclipse glasses if you're gonna be viewing the solar activity.
I'm going
No,
bare-eyed. I'm going
stop it.
full wide-eyed, staring into the sun.
It was actually funny the other day. I was listening to, even though the show was actually mostly pretty boring. Unfortunately, Sean was on Tim Pool's show, and Sean is great, but everyone else was unfortunately kind of boring. But in it, we learned that Ian does some kind of like weird sun gazing thing that seems super fucking dangerous.
Really? Wow.
Yes,
Okay. Look,
and it
I
was
was
hilarious
joking.
because like he was talking about it, and you could tell Tim was like super uncomfortable, like. Because he doesn't want anyone to like burn their eyes out and
Yeah,
sue him or
look.
something.
Yeah, look. Tim is thinking about the bank
I
account.
was like, oh my God. I was like, Ian, stop. No,
This is a
stop.
huge liability.
Yes. I was like, oh my God, terrible. I mean, he did say like no one should do this, but I was like, oh my God, this sounds like the worst thing ever to do.
Yeah.
Nobody should do this. Jeez.
Famous last words, right? A bunch
Yes.
of libertarians, you tell them, never do this.
Well, anyway, so today we're gonna be watching a couple clips. First, we have Charlemagne the God trashes DEI, and then Brianna Greyjoy and Robbie get into a fight about it.
What? How is this? Well, look, I love a good Brianna Greyjoy fight, but
Yes.
Charlemagne the God? I haven't watched this clip, so it's just I've seen it going around. How is he? He seems super woke to me. Why is he
Well, we'll
trashing
talk about
DEI?
it when we get to that part. And then
Okay.
also, Trump came out in favor of IVF, and he kind
Yeah.
of gives his take on abortion, which is going to be we've talked about this, the very difficult thread for needle, sorry, very difficult needle for him to thread regarding trying to pick up votes without, losing too many votes in the Republican Party.
Yeah, this is. I was amazed when I saw it because we did a show talking about the IVF thing in Alabama. Alabama did this law that would seem to make IVF difficult because embryos would be classified as people, right?
Right. Yes,
So
exactly.
it seems like Trump is like, no. We want babies, not embryos.
Yeah, he took a pretty smart stance on this, and we'll talk about that and what Alabama did.
Yep.
Ostracy for $5 says Sitch with his weak eyes afraid of the sun. Listen, you see how my eyes are? You see how my eyes are just white circles with no pupils, okay? That's
Right.
because I stared at the sun too much, all right? That's why they're like that.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
Okay,
Look,
anyway.
God, if you guys can't stare at the sun, what kind of pussies are you?
There you go.
Jesus.
Anyway, let's jump into this.
All right.
Charlemagne the God had some unkind words for DEI while he was guest hosting The Daily Show. Let's watch this clip.
Every one of you has sat through one of those diversity training sessions and thought, this is some bullshit. And it's not just you. Over 900 studies have shown that DEI programs don't make the workplace better for minorities. In fact, it can actually make things worse because of the backlash effect. Charlemagne.
Wow.
So
Okay. True.
I want to say one thing. Okay. Who's doing the makeup at the Daily Show?
That's standard Charlemagne the God look. Like, I
Is
think he
that
wears
really? Is that
eyeliner
how he
or
normally
something.
looks?
Yeah, he's
I don't
like,
think so. We've covered the Breakfast Club. I've seen what he looks like normally.
I was wearing
I
eyeliner.
mean,
He
it's like
was
why I
my.
was like, why do they do make him up like look like a woman? Like, what's happening here? It's very strange.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm gonna blame the makeup people on that one. But
Sure.
okay, so they only play like that tiny segment of the clip. The full clip is basically Charlemagne's position is that DI is performative and it just doesn't work and it makes people mad and those stupid little seminars are just garbage. But he wants to replace it with something better. So he's not
Okay.
really against like the concept of equity. He just thinks it doesn't work, essentially.
Yeah, yeah,
Which
yeah.
I think from a strategic standpoint is gonna totally backfire, not gonna work because there's a lot of people on the right pushing up against DEI, trying to get rid of it. And if people on the left start trying to attack it, even if they want to replace it with something better, I don't think it's going to work. I think it's just going to get removed, which, I mean, that's great, but I think this is not a strategy that will work that Charlemagne's kind of pushing here.
You know Chloe Valdery? She is a DEI person, but she's against basically woke DEI. She says a woke DEI doesn't work, but she does believe in DEI. She's basically the person that people call up when they do the woke DEI and everyone in the office wants to kill each other. So they're like,
Right.
help, please help. So
Well, is she doing actual, is it DEI? Is it just a form of
she, you know,
like
D.
racial awareness or something? I don't, is it actually D, like it's in favor of equity?
I believe it focuses more on the similarities between people than the
Right.
differences, which is the problem with the woke DEI, right? But
Sure.
she's done a talk with Jordan Peterson that's very fascinating. She's an interesting character.
What's her
So
name?
there's a Chloe Valdery
Okay.
has a write-up in the Atlantic. Can Chloe Valdery sell skeptics on DEI? So yeah, she's
Okay.
super interesting, but yeah. So maybe he's going in that direction, which you know
I mean, I'm skeptical, but that'd be nice.
Well, look, I'm in favor of obviously equality of opportunity.
Right.
I think DEI goes wrong where it's they're trying to go for equity, right? So if you, I'm not opposed to the idea that there could be some sort of DEI program that wasn't garbage, right? Right now, it's all Marxist garbage. So,
Well, I think the problem is DEI, the E stands for equity, right?
oh, it does. Okay, my
Yeah,
God.
so I like it would have to be called something out.
All
Like it
right.
can't be DEI, right?
Right, yeah, I guess we got to get rid of that E.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great point. Yeah, all
Okay.
right.
Was
Touche.
good to you.
Really make things worse because of the backlash effect. Charlemagne the God went on to liken DEI to DARE programs. Remember those? And saying they don't work. DEI training is like DARE for racism. And you all know how effective that was. I was sitting there going, oh shit, there's a ton of fun drugs I should try. I didn't even know about Molly. Thanks, Officer John. But the biggest failure of DEI is that the number of black people in power at big companies is basically the same as it was 5 years ago.
So I saw this clip going viral on X. I think he makes a lot of good points speaking to how these studies have shown that it actually doesn't work, that it's not leading to increased representation of my.
Look at Breonna Greyjoy in the leer. The leer has already begun here. I've not seen this clip either, but look, Breonna Greyjoy is not taking any of this shit.
That's her number one Pokemon move. She uses Leer, but
She
it's never very
does.
effective.
She does. She's like, Robbie, already stepping in it.
Minority people in the business world, and also voicing something that I've voiced before, which is that when I've the one time in my life where I went through one of these kinds of things at a large corporation, the minority people who had to sit through it seemed to hate it just as much as everyone else.
I think what's important to note here, I made this exact argument that Charlemagne the God is making yesterday, that the goal should be to actually make the experiences of, diverse people in the workplace not an experience of prejudice, that it's not a kind of extra bonus to non-white men and straight white men in the workplace. It's an acknowledgement that there are inequities that in terms of their actual treatment and opportunity because of their identity, and that it's a goal. The goal is to get rid of the prejudices that exist against people. And that these programs are not actually doing that, and they're largely HR programs that are intended to guard the company against any kind of lawsuit from employees who articulate frustration and actually sue over the fact that they have been discriminated against in the workplace. The company can then say, I've got these policies in place. I did everything that I could do.
So the last thing that she said just there, that is true. That is why a lot of the, that's why probably most of these companies have this, is to protect against lawsuits.
Yeah.
But so that's true. But the first thing that she said, this is the problem with the DEI stuff. As I said, the E, it doesn't stand for equality. It literally stands for equity. And if what Brianna's talking about is that she wants policies or programs that help people not be racist, which is basically what she's saying, so that when it comes to interacting with people in the workplace and it comes to hiring, that white people, which is what she's really saying, won't be racist against black people in terms of making hiring decisions. Like, okay, like that would be, first of all, that'd be good if a program like that works or exists, which I'm kind of skeptical of. But say it does, right? I'm not against something like that. The problem is that since the E stands for equity, it's not about that. It's about saying, okay, if you don't have an exact proportion that matches the population that your company is located in terms of ethnic diversity, then you have to meet that quota. You have to make that quota, even if you can't actually find the people, or you have to lower standards in order to meet that quota. And that's why equity is terrible and doesn't work.
Yeah, it's kind of evolved from these programs that are meant to kind of avoid conflict between different coworkers into this idea that if you don't meet racial quotas, then your company is racist.
Exactly.
So that's the
Exactly.
problem. Yeah.
Right. And you have and Brown's not addressing that, and that's kind of like the key component of, or one of the key components why DEI is awful and doesn't work. This is why you talked about yesterday in Seattle when they're like, okay, well, we can't get enough black kids and Hispanic kids in the gifted program, so they just do away with the gifted program,
Yeah,
right?
yeah. D you just do away with meritocracy, sis. That's exactly what you do.
Exactly, right.
Well, this can present, obviously, if you're going to go into one of these training things and you're going to basically put out the meme that if there's not perfect, racial quotas, that means this workplace is racist. I mean, why would you want to throw that out? Like,
Right.
you're working in a racist environment. That's going to immediately make any of your minority employees just pissed off. Yeah. Horrible.
That being said, I don't think that we can have this conversation and make these kinds of, I think, substantive and good criticisms without pointing out what people like Christopher Rufo have said their goal is with respect to the term DEI. Much like he said explicitly with respect to critical race theory, his goal is to take these terms and make them sort of amorphous so that people can project whatever concern they have on this specific word. And so they no longer might say, not everybody, but some people who might no longer feel able to say something that is frankly more explicitly racist can now say they have a concern about DEI, and it kind of whitewashes the complaint. We saw this a little bit with.
It's annoying. So like this is, I hate how talking points form. Someone creates a talking point, and then it like gets picked up, and then everyone just repeats it, and then I guess it just as if it's true. So she's saying like, oh, so now the evil racist, they can just say someone is DEI instead of saying like the N-word or something. Which, to be fair to her, there definitely are people that are using DEI in that fashion. But just because there are racist people that are using a term in that way, that doesn't mean that you can't like that you could just get to paint everyone that criticizes DEI for legitimate reasons as being one of these secret racists.
Yeah.
The Elon Musk complaining about the existence of black pilots. There's no literature, there's no statistic, there's no study that shows that black pilots are any less safe than pilots of any other race, that they're in.
Is that what Elon Musk was doing, complaining about black pilots? Pilots who are black?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, that seems wildly inaccurate.
Right. Yeah. I'll
Yeah.
have to go if I'll try to pull up his tweet. But
Elon Musk was complaining about letting people in who couldn't meet certain meritocratic criteria, right? Yeah. He was talking about lowering the standards. We covered this interview too, he did with Don Lemon. He's talking about lowering the standards so that you could meet racial quotas, and that all of a sudden has turned into every black pilot is a diversity hire. That's not what he said at all. That's
Right.
totally bad faith.
Involved in any more incidences of crashes or other kind of error than any other kind of race. Yet he posts a picture of a black pilot and says, "Is this DEI? Would you be feel safe to fly on this plane?" Or reacts to a post like that positively. And you can kind of accept that in the mainstream in the way you wouldn't be able to make an open statement about how I just don't like black pilots, you know?
I think DEI, unlike critical race theory, actually refers to something that is a bit more tangible. I mean,
Well,
critical
critical
race
race
theory
theory
is
isn't
an
very
academic,
tangible.
well, it's an academic discipline. It's not, there wasn't actually a critical race theory program. It was a
Well, there's.
component of the, let me, it was a component of the curriculum for law schools and graduate schools, and it made its way, the term appears in some of the training materials in diversity workshops. DEI, unlike that term, is an agenda and a program, and there are people who work in that field who do that kind of teaching and instructing in corporations and in schools and in other places. So I do think some conservatives have broadened the term beyond any recognition, but at least when you're talking about that, you're pointing to a more tangible thing that people have had to undergo, a lot of people, in their workplace and in their school.
When someone says, is this pilot DEI, or says that the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore fell down because of DEI, is that a reference to a diversity program at an institution?
Well, what they're referencing...
Who cares? Why are we talking about this? Seriously.
Well,
we're talking about using the terms to say things. Why are we talking about language here? There's like some literal substance going on.
Because
here.
That's how you win the argument. You said you use the wrong word, so you get labeled with a racist stick, right?
I mean,
that's
wrong here, Sitch? It's like, what? You're like somebody, she's basically saying, but look, we can use these words to racists can use these words to denigrate people. Is that the topic? I thought the topic was about, you know, eroding the meritocracy in dangerous ways. I thought that was the topic.
Well, that's the topic if you like, if you're like care about substance and, you know, helping society improve, right?
But yeah, exactly.
If your goal is to use language to basically attack people and prevent people from attacking your ideas, then this is what you do. You say, okay, you can't actually. I mean, this is the big problem with like woke is, you know, the far left types and the socialists, they understand that if you don't have a word to describe a concept, it's very difficult to sort of get public fervor to turn against it, right? And so if you can't describe something without getting attacked, you know, this is how they get you. This is why like the label cultural Marxism was so attacked, even though like just as a descriptive word, it's pretty good at describing the concept, but it was attacked so that you can't actually talk about the concept in any way that people will understand.
So they're basically protecting their weak ass arguments by making it impossible for people to talk about them without being labeled some kind of racist.
Yes, just yes, exactly. You can't even describe the thing. And so, okay, so I don't know if this all tweets, but I found an NBC article that was attacking Elon Musk for being racist, and they linked the article. And the article they linked the tweet. In the tweet, he's not even talking about pilots. So I don't know if there's a different tweet or Brianna just doesn't know what she's talking about, because he's responding to, like, you know how there's been all these problems with airplanes recently? And, people have been equating.
Course.
Yeah, people have been equating the Boeing problems with airplanes to DEI. Now, I haven't looked into any of this, so I have no clue if it has anything to do with that. It could just be completely unrelated. But I know James Lindsay and other people have been really pushing on, you know, Boeing, you know, like making their safety second priority to like DEI requirements and things of that nature. And he kind of posted a picture that shows how they were incentivizing their CEOs to essentially be hyper fixated on DEI goals in order to get bonuses. And then so he tweets that out. Then Elon Musk retweets that and says, you know, do you want to fly in an airplane where they prioritize DEI hiring over your safety? This is actually happening. So that was, and now when I interpreted it, it was more about like how the planes are being constructed rather than the pilots. And I don't know why everyone interpreted what Elon was saying as like he's talking about black pilots when that's not what they're even talking about. They're talking about the plane design. And people generally, when talking about the Boeing problems, haven't been pilot problems. They've always been problems with the plane design. So
yeah, and he's leaving race out of it. It's not anyone who they lower the standards for to become a pilot, whether they're white, black, Asian, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. Yeah, not a race thing.
Referencing there is affirmative action is race-based hiring, which
what part of the a boat piloted, as I understand it, what was it? Where was the boat from? Spanish, right? Something like that. At what point is the boat piloted by non-black people?
Okay, wait, hold on. Okay, no, he did have a tweet. Let me correct. He did have a tweet about pilots. Someone said the average IQ of a USAF pilot is about 120. And the figures I've seen, major airline pilots range from 115 to 130. By the contrast, means of IQs of grads from two of the United Airlines HBCU partners, it's about 85 to 90. Based on the average SATs at those schools. Is that information? I'm kind of skeptical. Why would that information even be available for anyone? Like, when you go to college, they don't take an IQ test.
SAT is an IQ test, basically. So,
I mean, that's what the person that posts this is claiming SATs I'm not, no, I don't know if I believe that. I'd have
You
to
don't know
see
that
some.
an SAT is an IQ test? I mean,
I've heard
what else
that.
is it?
I'm kind of skeptical of it because the reason why I'm skeptical of it is because people can generally take SAT prep courses and pretty drastically increase their SAT score.
Oh, and they're not increasing their IQ.
Yeah, and that's not,
Yeah.
your IQ doesn't work that way,
Oh, yeah,
right?
that's an interesting
So that's
perspective.
why I'm kind of skeptical of that, but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
But anyway, and Elon responded to that, and it was about pilots. So I mean, I don't know, maybe, and I agree, Elon does do some bad,
Some sus stuff.
some dumb tweets. So
He does the same thing as Trump does. He's like, oh, they're just
yeah,
going to mischaracterize me, so let me just give them as much ammo as humanly possible.
right,
It's
yeah,
like, maybe don't throw the grenade, on the
right,
ground right next to you.
yeah. Okay, so fair enough. Yeah, you can, it's fair enough. Criticize him for that tweet.
Part of the a boat. Piloted, as I understand it, what was it? It was, where was the boat from? Spanish, right? Something like that. Well, at what point is the boat piloted by non-black people running into a
Was it
bridge
piloted
have to
by non-black
do?
people? I don't think it has anything to
See,
do.
this is so tired. I can't stand this argument. And look, this argument hurts people. I hate the term marginalized people, but marginalized people, black people, Hispanic people, if they are being hired via quota and not via merit, then it tangibly hurts the people who do reach the meritocratic goal, because they're lumped in as like a diversity hire. Like everyone looks at them like they're incompetent, even though they could be the most competent people alive. So I think it hurts the people that they're trying to help.
Well, first of all, Robbie's about to like get a pretty good one on Brianna right here. This
Okay.
is pretty funny. It's pretty devastating. But so basically what you're talking about, if you guys don't know, is that, you know, when they had the boat that crashed into the bridge, there were some accounts. Now, these weren't like major accounts, they're just like random accounts, or like they were large accounts, but they were not like anonymous. They were anonymous accounts. They're like these like weird like right-wing accounts. And some of them were pushing the idea that somehow DEI had something to do with the boat hitting the bridge, or something to do with like the mayor's response. And I mean, it was really fucking stupid for anyone to say that. This was like before any information came out. They're like, I bet DEI is the problem of it, and it was really fucking retarded. And it allowed a lot of the media to basically say, look, all these people on the right, even though it was just like these like random Twitter accounts. All these people on the right are just huge racists because they're promoting this idea that the bridge collapse and the mayor has anything to do with DI, and that's retarded.
Right.
But and
It
it is fucking retarded. And the people
I
that
mean
immediately jump to that, it is pretty racist to immediately jump to that and say, ah, oh, it must be because the DI has something to do with this.
thank you. Yeah, 'cause I saw some of those tweets and I watched what the mayor had said and I was like, I mean, it's pretty fucking
It
racist.
is.
Like
And then. And then what was really fucking stupid is that Charlie Kirk and some other like actual big right-wing accounts, because the mayor, you know, the mayor made this comment to Joy Reid about like how, you know, he was elected to make these people feel uncomfortable, and these people being the racists that are accusing him of being mayor just for some DEI reason. And Charlie Kirk and some other people, I think even lives at TikTok, these big accounts, so fucking stupidly walked right into the trap, and they're like, why is he saying that all white people, he's going to try to make all white people feel uncomfortable? What the hell? I'm like, are you fucking retarded? He didn't say that. He literally said nothing about that. He said the racists feel uncomfortable. Why would you just ascribe racism to every white person? It was
Yeah, nice move,
insanely stupid response
dumbasses.
from some of these people.
Jeez. Now they're falling into the stereotype that all
Yes,
white people are
100%.
racist. Ouch.
Institution?
Well, what they're ref
Institution?
well, what they're referencing there is affirmative action is race-based
Right.
hiring, which, well,
What
that
wait
is a
what
thing.
part of the a boat piloted, as I understand it, what was it? It was, where was the boat from? Spanish, right? Something like that. Well, at what point is the boat piloted by non-black people running into a
Was it
bridge
piloted
have to
by non-black
do?
people? I don't think it has anything to do with anything.
Well, so how is that
Well, who
DEI?
was saying that? Who was saying that it was
It
DEI
was a
piloted?
viral Twitter phenomenon, that a video of Baltimore's mayor talking about the bridge falling and the fact of the bridge falling itself was characterized as a DEI problem.
Yeah, and people, including Christopher Rufo and Christina Pichot, said you should not refer to the mayor as a DEI mayor. It's an elected position. He's literally chosen by the people. You can have other criticisms of the mayor if they're deserved, but it's not a DEI thing. Wait, well, maybe you were out that day. Jessica and I discussed that on the show. I said that. In terms of the pipe.
Maybe you were out that day. How'd you like that? How'd you like that?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oof. Oh, my God. What a smackdown.
Pilots. I mean, yeah, no, obviously it would be racist to say that, like, black pilots fly the planes or ships or whatever the vehicle is less well than anyone else. I think the criticism they're trying to make is that we shouldn't select pilots or basically people for any other profession or be more likely to hire them based on their race, right? That's what... Isn't that an uncontroversial
statement? Right. So the question is, if these programs are designed to try to
get people ameliorate, hired because of their race?
No, to prevent people from not being hired because of their race, because that's right. Where we're coming from.
That's what we all believe. You should not be hired because of your race.
What program do you think? But people are discriminated against on the basis of their race. So what programs do you advocate?
They're discriminated in favor of because
no,
of their
race.
No,
they're discriminated against because of their race.
When they
so
have
what, and that's
hiring,
why DEI
when they have...
programs exist in the first place. So what kind of program...
See, but this is the problem. So there's this idea because of... these resume studies that because there was some companies at some time, according to a resume study, you know, was discriminatory, supposedly. And I do think there's some problems with those studies, but supposedly was discriminatory to people who are black based on their name. That means that all these companies that have not a perfect racial population that matches the local population, therefore they must be discriminatory in their hiring practices, which is kind of absurd and stupid, especially when all these companies are like kind of bending over backwards to try to meet some kind of diversity quota.
Right. Yeah. This study needs to be done once a year and it needs to be constantly updated.
Well, and also
they lean on it so much.
They do. And also, but it's also got to be done for different industries, right? Like,
of course,
if you're doing, you know, I can fucking bet you that if you did this blind resume study, you know, at Google or some big tech company, it's going to be, you're going to get the exact opposite results. If you have a name that seems not white,
yeah,
you know, everyone's going to be trying to bend it over backwards to hire you, right? But
any
it might be
Indian
different.
Name, they're going to be like, jump at it.
Right. But that could be, you could get completely different results if you do, you know, a local restaurant or a local shop, depending on where it's located, right?
Right.
And have completely the exact opposite results. And so that's kind of the problem, is that there's just this universality given to this, you know, these studies, which doesn't really make sense.
Programs do you think should be implemented to prevent people from being discriminated against because of their race or other kinds of protected
status? I
think
we should eliminate affirmative action programs that give people preferential treatment in terms of hiring and college admissions based on race. That is discrimination against people of the race not being preferred in the application and should be eliminated and is being eliminated by court order in many schools. And like 60-70% of Americans agree, including Democrats, that
so there's many examples of this. Here's one study that just came up from Bowdoin College. Employers discriminate against job applicants with black sounding names, the study indicates.
They shouldn't do
it
that.
Was published last year. In this study, assistant professor this professor found that employers were less likely to call black job applicants with black sounding names when presented with identical resumes. What
was a study published last year, or was it like a meta study of all the ones that have been published in 1970?
That's a good question. I'll check it out.
Kind of policy should be implemented? That's real discrimination.
It's already illegal to do that.
Right. But that's not a policy that's implemented to actually prevent this from happening, because obviously if I apply for a job, there's no way for me to know that the reason I didn't get it is because I have a black sounding name.
Yeah, that should be illegal, and it is. So.
Right. But what policy should be in place to actually make sure that I'm not abstractly being discriminated against without there being any pushback?
Quotas. No, I'm just kidding.
That is why these programs are included.
There
so
are
if your belief,
civil rights look, groups that will sue on
if your
behalf.
Belief, there Robbie, are... There's no way for me.
Well, see, but wait. So if, I mean, if this was like really the issue that was so concerning, wouldn't there just be a policy of like, okay, well, you know, the company, now I don't know, I don't think it should be law, but it could say, okay, well, the companies could adopt a policy where they don't, you know, the resumes don't have names on them or something, right? It's just like whatever the qualifications
that
are.
That could be, that could work.
Me to know what happened.
They did that with, I believe, like the symphony, and they ran into a bunch of problems because you know, obviously, like, the symphony started filling up with Asians because the Asians were just like killing it.
Right? I know. I remember that. Yeah. It actually made the discrimination worse.
Yeah. So they were like, oh shit, there's no diversity in the symphony. It's all fucking Asians.
We have too many Asians.
Yeah, exactly. So they had to go back to like, okay, take the screens down.
Yeah.
We got to see what's going on back.
Yes.
So, yeah. What do you want?
And the people are not always doing it consciously. So if your belief is that Black people and other people from groups that are discriminated against just have to live with the reality that they are not going to be as marketable in the job force, that they are going to have less income over their lives, that they're going to be discriminated in their housing applications and all of these things, and there's nothing that you can do about it, and that we just have to suck it up, that's an honest position to have. But we cannot talk about the existence of these programs without acknowledging that they're there because we live in a world where my parents were born into an apartheid country, had to go to segregated schools, and were not equal citizens in the United States of America, and that that reality doesn't disappear
overnight.
We've
ended all those policies. And we should end those policies. And we should end policies that award preference.
Look at that little smug look at the camera. It's hilarious.
Citizens in the United States of America. And that that reality doesn't disappear
overnight.
We've
ended all those policies. And we should end those policies. And we should end policies that award preference.
She's doing a gym. She's doing an office.
She's totally doing a gym. That's exactly what's going on here.
Look at that.
Look at this Steve Carell moron over here.
Oh my God, Brianna, what are you doing? You can't gym Rob here.
Preferential status and treatment to people based on race. That was the whole point of ending it. Again, the DEI policies themselves do not fix what you're talking about. Right?
That's
what the
evidence
shows.
Criticism.
They're not fixing that.
That's a legitimate criticism. But if you're making that criticism without having any desire to get at the root of the problem, which is that people from these marginalized groups are discriminated against in meaningful ways. If you just don't care about that and you're like, well, that's going to happen, but what can we do about it? Then I think your criticism of DEI is in bad faith. DEI is bad because...
Are they really being discriminated against? I mean, will companies turn down like an overqualified applicant because of their race? It's hard for me to imagine that's the case. I could see it happening if there are like equally qualified applicants, mm-hmm. them saying, oh, I'm going to go with the white guy because the boss is racist or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the problem, is that that's from her lens that she's viewing it through. She's just making this assumption that, yeah, there's all these people that are just making like racist decisions in hiring, right, and intentionally saying that they're not going to hire a Black person when... In reality, what my guess would be is that, and this is kind of the problem, is that because of the history of racism has created all these problems that basically have put a lot of the Black community in like lower economic areas, lower educational areas, and other problems like that. So there just are like,
you
know, less people that are applying for these higher paying jobs, or these, you know, these jobs that she's talking about, because of the history of racism. It's not so much that the people making the hiring decisions are like, I'm not going to hire this person because they're Black.
Right. Yeah. The history of racism has left them underqualified. And
exactly. And that's the problem, is because, okay, like, if you want to actually fix it, you have to address that. But that's a far more difficult thing to accomplish than to just simply say, okay, well, here's like a quota we need to basically enforce.
Right. Yeah. I like to see the numbers on this, though, because granted, I'm in California, but in my daily life, it's not like there's no place that you go that it's all, you know, white people working there.
Yeah, of course.
There's literally no company that you can walk into that you're like, oh, wow, this is just all white.
Yeah. I mean, that's my experience too. So it's like, I don't know where, you know, but we both live in like major metropolitan areas. So.
Right. Yeah.
So this study she's referencing is kind of weird. I can't get the full study and I don't want to pay for it. But it's like they took 1,500 people, and it wasn't based on like job data. They took people. And it says they presented people with pairs of names. The experiment involved collecting data about attitudes within the group toward the race and ethnicity, education, productivity, and personality traits of names selected from a pool of workers previously hired for a particular task. After being presented with pairs of names, participants were also offered incentives for selecting the worker they thought would be more productive in a particular task. The chance that they would choose job candidates they perceived to be white because of their names was almost twice as high than if they thought the candidate was black. The tendency to discriminate against people with black sounding names was greatest among men and people over 55, whites and conservatives. So it sounds like what they're saying is that they just gave people a bunch of random names and said, who do you think would be best to hire? And then they just selected based on their name.
Right.
They didn't, but that sounds like a like kind of a retarded experiment because you like, what are you supposed to do with that? Like, how is anyone supposed to do it? Like, you just be like, well, I don't have any information. It's just a person's name. Like,
Yeah, that's crazy. They need to give some sort of metrics on their qualifications and find out, like,
right.
if this is a very highly qualified candidate with a black sounding name, are they like, no, I'm going to hire the white guy who's a retard, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah, like,
I mean, that would be an interesting experiment because then you'd really detect some racism. My guess is it would just be like, okay, well, this guy, I'm going with a smart black guy. The company want I want the companies I want to work with a smart person. I don't care what their skin color is.
It doesn't work, not because the reality that it's trying to address isn't a reality.
I didn't say the reality, I didn't say racism doesn't exist. I never said that. Of course, there are still racial harms that exist out there in the world. The question is what we're going to do about it. And we do have a comprehensive system of civil rights law that can bring lawsuits on behalf of you if you are treated racially unfairly in the workplace.
As an
God, I love the heavy sigh. Ah! Did you hear that?
It was like a sitch sigh. Did you hear that?
I did. Yeah, it was great. Listen to this guy.
Question is what we're going to do about it. And we do have a comprehensive system of civil rights law that can bring lawsuits on behalf of you if you are treated racially unfairly in the workplace.
As a lawyer who actually clerked in a court and reviewed those cases, it is almost impossible to prove. And those cases go nowhere. It is impossible to prove that someone, that the reason that your resume was rejected was because your name was Brianna with an H in it. It's literally impossible to prove. How would I go about proving that?
You get a civil rights law firm to do this on your behalf. I mean, there's an entire industry, there's an entire
All right,
legal
Robbie.
category.
So I'm doing that with my time and my resources and energy. You're just cruising through the job market. And if you think that's an appropriate way for us to have designed our country and that's what equality looks like, hey, that's a stance.
Equality looks
All of this based on that crap study you just laid out too. Going to the mat for this crap study. Which doesn't even say the thing that we're talking about. Like if black candidates are look, obviously Breonna Graybeard is highly qualified for the job that she's doing. And to for somebody to say, "Nah, go away," based on her skin color is just, I mean, I can't imagine that happening. That's like a level of racism. I mean, you just see in movies about the 1960s and stuff.
Right.
Looks like people getting disfavored status when they apply for jobs or admissions to
Who
college
has a
because they
disfavored
get
status?
Asian people when they apply to Harvard until recently?
The problem with that is that white people are being
The problem
maintained.
is white
No,
people.
the problem is that Harvard's trying to maintain a quota of white people and not have an all Asian cast, like so many of the UC schools where they don't have those kind of quota systems. Black people and
Look, quotas are a problem, Sitch, when that quota is trying to maintain white people. But if the quota takes white people completely out of the equation, then meritocracy for God's sake.
We talked about this yesterday with Amber. Black Americans in particular represent like 2% of the entire Black American, the Black population at a school like Harvard. The problem is you have a 40% legacy class that has to have their places, and that and other kinds of trying to maintain a white racial majority that's
Well,
reflective of the general
they
population
should absolutely
is
get rid of legacy
excluding
status
all
as
of these
well.
Asian students, Asian
Okay,
American
people,
students.
why is it so hard to say? People should not get.
I'm kind of surprised he's against legacy. The reason they do legacy isn't to maintain the white majority. The reason they do legacy is basically to incentivize that graduates will keep sending their children and donating to the college afterwards. It's purely done for financial purposes.
Yeah, it's a loyalty
Right,
program, basically.
right. And also from a non, like a less cynical perspective, it does make sense to think that, every college wants that to have students who they think will do well, and if you have a parent who went to the school and did well, it makes sense that you think, well, that's higher chance, higher likelihood that their child will do well, even if that doesn't happen. It still makes sense that you'd think that that would happen logically.
I believe anyone who wants a Harvard degree should be able to purchase one. I don't think there should be any sort of.
Wow, look at this.
Yeah. Well, I don't get the constraints on the market. It's just, it's all, this is what inflates the prices.
Right.
Yeah. Look, there's no other market where we do this, where we constrain the market so we can keep prices artificially inflated.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things that do that, but yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean,
it's considered a market failure though.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's build a million less houses just so housing prices can be
right
horribly high and a million people are left out in the cold. That's so fucked up. Why are we doing it with college degrees? If you've got the chops and the SAT scores and the academic record, why are you being precluded from getting a Harvard degree if that's what you want? It's just stupid.
Based on their legacy status or their racial status.
Right, but is Christopher Rufo making that argument? He's not. There's a campaign.
He supports getting rid of.
No, Christopher. What's so frustrating about this argument?
No, the people on the left keep saying you guys are defending legacy status. Literally, no one is defending
that. What's so frustrating about this argument is that Christopher Rufo literally says what he's doing. He's not hiding the ball. He says, I want to take a term like CRT and now DEI and make them stand in for people's broad racial resentments. And you can either fall for that, or you can say, oh, I agree with the discrete concern about DEI, but what I'm going to be very clear about, and what frankly Charlamagne was clear about in that clip, is that the inequity, the lack of not just representation, but what the representation reflects about the inequities that are built into the system, whether it's the number of people who are represented in Fortune 500 companies, which I think is less important because I don't love those companies in the first place, or whether or not it is your ability to be hired because of what your name looks like or get a house for your family based on what your name looks like, whether your housing value is necessarily automatically lowered because you are a black person in the house, which is a true phenomenon. Real estate appraisers appraise your house as having less value if you are black. And there was a recent New York Times story where a upper middle class black family had white friends of theirs come and be in their house.
All of that is corruption and should be weeded out. I mean, it's literally a story because it happened, right? That's an attempt to weed out that corruption.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Took all of their pictures down so that.
Well, and she keeps, attacking Rufo for, I don't remember him making, and maybe he did, a comment about DEI. You know, he made that comment a while ago about CRT, basically saying that he wanted whenever, I don't remember his exact wording, but he basically was saying whenever someone's talking about wokeness or something to that effect, I want it to, I want them to think of CRT in their mind, and that this is how we're kind of like stop wokeness and stop CRT, is to kind of like conflate these things. Which, first of all, that's not like a dishonest conflation, because wokeness and CRT are very, very, very closely ideologically related, and so is DEI for that fact. And so there's nothing wrong with him saying that he wants these things to be associated when they all stem from the same, they're all, poisonous fruit from the same tree. And so to me, it's like very ridiculous for Brianna to keep attacking Rufo as if that's him saying something that's wrong or saying something dishonest.
Yeah, I agree. But they see it as dishonest, obviously. So
right, but I don't think she understands what CRT even is or what the problem. I mean, I've never heard her even articulate what Rufo or anyone else's problems with DEI even is beyond saying that that's just because they're racist.
Yeah, but she's an attorney, obviously. She's studied CRT in school.
I don't know.
And she would say, she's definitely knows like CRT, the academic version.
Then she
of
should
it.
Know better then to yeah. make these kind of statements.
God, I'd love to talk to her about CRT. That'd be so good.
The recent New York Times story where a middle-class black family, upper middle-class black family, had white friends of theirs come and be in their house and took all of their pictures down so that the appraiser would give them a higher housing value. All of those
but
things.
How can it be bad? I think that is bad. But how can you say it's bad for the hiring official
it?
Or the grant maker to racially discriminate, but it is good and desirable to have a policy of racial discrimination
against
other groups?
So what are you
going to
do about it? What are you
gonna
I'm going
about? To eliminate those policies.
Okay. It's not a policy that's causing people to be discriminated against in reality in the world. It's their racism.
It's racism.
So, okay. Here's the only problem. First of all, that quote, that incident that she's talking about, it was just someone did a thing. They said, okay, we got our house appraised. We felt like it was too low. So we had like our friends come in. We have a different appraiser do it, and they gave it a higher appraisal, right? Which, first of all, you'd say, okay, well, you could just have that two different appraisers gave two different appraisings, right? Like,
Yeah,
it's
you
not
could have
like they did a
done
study. Like, you wouldn't be able to make a determination about whether that person was actually racist or something, in doing that action. But even if it was true, okay, even if it was true and say, okay, well, there's still like all this broad racism in society, which, by the way, there are still lots of racist people out there in society. I mean, you see them all on Twitter all the time,
Yeah, of
okay?
course, yeah.
Right. The way to fix that, I believe, I don't think putting people through these programs like DARE or basically forcing legislation where you're like, you have to have some kind of racial quota, I don't think any of that's going to work. I think making laws where you say you can't be racist, that's totally fine, and we should have those. But I think the only way to actually combat racism, which I think we were actually doing a pretty good job of, until recently, is A, to sort of create a society where culturally racism is looked down upon, which it is, to create a society where we're very advocating for individual rights, which we used to be. And unfortunately, now we're kind of gone the opposite direction, which has made racism even worse. And also to try to figure out a way that we can sort of raise up the standard of living for non-white people in America, specifically black people, because that's what, Brown is talking about. And I think the problem is that that's a difficult thing to do, and it's a slower process to do. And that's why a lot of people are like, no, I want it to be done like now, essentially. And that's just not the way you change people's psychology. I mean,
Well,
if and
and
you, yeah.
you gotta, if you're going to try to lift people out of poverty, you shouldn't do it based on race. It'll disproportionately
Of
help
course,
blacks
yes.
because more
Right.
black people are in impoverished. But
Right. 100%. Yeah.
people like Breonna Greyjoy don't want to see those programs targeted at poor white people because they, they have the white privilege lens and all that.
Exactly.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
As
You can't.
policy in elite hiring and education. That is policy.
I strongly recommend everybody read Nicole Hannah-Jones' new piece because she talks about how people.
Oh my God.
Like that?
Nicole Hannah-Jones of the 1619 Project?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's all read that. That'll be fun.
People were making this exact argument like 10 years after the Civil War, saying, hey, we shouldn't have a Freedmen's Bureau to help process slaves' integration into society. People who are for whom it was illegal to read, who had no schools, who for whom it was illegal to stay in any kind of housing, et cetera, who had no land, who had no priors, who had nothing in the world. That program within 10 years of the Civil War was eliminated by racist, I think it's fair to say, because they said it was unfair for white people and put them at a strategic disadvantage to slaves.
So I hope Robbie gets paid a lot, because I wouldn't
Right.
put up with my co-host basically being this horribly bad faith to me, looking directly at the camera, essentially equating me to like a white racist piece of shit from like 100+ years ago who didn't want to help black slaves, and equating that to something that's happening in the year 2024. Like
Yeah.
that to me is so wildly unfair and disgusting.
Yeah, it is horrifying.
And she's not even talking to him. She just looks at the camera and's like, listen, this guy's a racist asshole, like these other racist assholes. So you should read this article on the can Nicole Hannah-Jones wrote and get educated so you're not a racist asshole like Robbie is here. Like that's essentially what she's saying to the
Yeah,
camera.
it's so bad,
Yeah.
man. This is a level of bad faith that like this is a whole new low for Breonna Greyjoy.
Yeah,
That's
I'm
really
actually, I mean, I
sad.
guess I'm impressed that Robbie can just like not blow up on her, because I
Keep it
definitely would blow up on
together.
her. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is pretty bad.
We are going to eliminate programs that are racially discriminatory on their face as designed by the law. That is what the vast majority of Americans want to do, even in places such as California.
And that's what systemic racism used to be, right? Racism that was embedded in the law.
Right.
But they're like, look, we want systemic racism.
Luck to everybody else out there.
More Rising right after this.
I got to read this article. I'm
I
trying to
know,
find this
that's what I was
essay.
thinking of.
It's
Like,
called The
Anna.
Color Blindness Trap.
Oh my God. Oh, word.
This is funny. So, because I was trying to find it, I couldn't find it because it was a little bit longer ago. And she may sound like it was recently, but it was like a couple weeks ago. And then there's a New York Times Magazine wrote an article about the article, and it's called Five Takeaways from Nicole Hannah-Jones' Essay on the Color Blindness Trap, right? So doesn't that make it sound like someone is doing a review of her essay?
Sure.
But it's written by Nicole Hannah-Jones.
She's doing a review of her own essay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just funny.
I wonder how it goes.
I know that like the people that write the articles don't write the title, but the title makes it sound like she's referring to herself in third person. That's just so funny. Okay.
Hilarious.
Okay, so that was hilarious and horrible and awkward and uncomfortable. So
Did you, yeah, did you see Coleman Hughes on The View?
yes,
He's doing
of
like a
course.
book tour,
I
yeah.
did, yeah. That was the conversation everyone was talking about the week that we were off. Yeah.
It's fascinating because you could see in that exchange that the black host was very disgruntled that, you know, you're taking away some of my victimhood points,
Yes.
which it's like even wealthy people, because I mean, you know, she's a host on The View. I'm sure she's
Right.
worth millions, right?
It was I forget the all the host names.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, listen, you felt like she wanted to call him the C word, like you could just like right there on her lips.
Of course. Yeah.
How dare you? But it was I don't want to say the wrong lady.
That's a huge, like, it's a luxury beliefs thing. It really is. It's like this belief. Look, I'm a wealthy person living in Southern California. You know, I've got all my needs met. You know, ever, you know, my house is cleaned by probably Hispanic people.
Right.
But it's like I still want to be able to say that I'm oppressed. Yeah. Oh, that just
So,
drives me
wasn't
crazy.
it like it seemed like Whoopi was more open to the conversation
Right.
that he was saying. And
Oh,
maybe it's because she's
yeah.
older, so she grew up in a time period where like liberal colorblind ideas about society and about racism were like the norm.
Yeah, that's an
And
interesting point.
so maybe I'm wondering if that's why that was sort of structured the way. Because she seemed more like it was the other host that was like really attacking him.
Right. All right, let's read some super chats. I'll see if I can find that Trump video.
Okay. Nice. The Texan for $10 says the clouds might block the eclipse here, but at least I can stare into the blinding rays of joy that is the Sitch and Adam show. There you go. Listen, positive attitude. Okay.
Nice. I love it.
Ostracy for $5. Thank you so much. Says I'm staring right at the eclipse in Austin. Luckily, the Sitch and Adam show is mostly an audio experience, so it's all good. There
That's true. Come on, you're
you
not going to be
go.
able to see me lift weights. What are you talking about?
Oh wow, that's true. Listen, you can't see Adam get the gains, right?
I'm getting buff.
That'll be nice to see. Velatro for f seven for $5 says Sitch, have you looked into Bridge 2.0 or is it too conspiracy theory for you in its current form? I don't even know what that. Oh, that's that other DEI thing. Yeah, I don't actually know
Under
anything
my
about Bridge
leadership,
2.0.
the
Yeah, what was
Oh,
that? It's like in New York Harbor or something.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know anything about Bridge 2.0, so I haven't looked into it. Dwight Baldwin for $5 says thoughts on the recent Candace Shapiro spat over a debate. So I listened to a video talking about it. They're going to debate, right? It was finally, there's going to be a debate at some point.
That's great.
I know there was some kind of contention where she wanted to have like a moderator and Ben didn't. So if they could get a debate going, I mean, listen, that's going to be primo content.
We're going to be
Okay.
covering that debate, that's for
Right.
sure.
And it's
That
going to
is
be on like
100%.
it's going to be over like what is anti-Semitism. So
Really? Wow. Oh.
if they do it, right? Am I, is that correct, chat? They're going to actually do a debate, I believe. I
Debates over
think.
definitions. What?
Well, it's interesting because like with Candace, I don't know if Candace has ever said anything that I've seen that I've felt is like explicitly anti-Semitic, but I think what's basically going on. And I don't, I'm not making any claims about whether she's anti-Semitic or not. I don't know. She makes a lot of like kind of on the fringe of that comments, and that people do this thing where like if you make a bunch of on the fringe comments, they add them all up and say, okay, well you said here's like a bunch of like you saying like 0.2 like amounts of racisms, and if I add all these 0.2s, I get like a one, so you're a racist, right? Or anti-Semitic. And it
Sure.
feels like that's kind of what's going on with her, which I mean, maybe she is. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, so it'd be interesting to see them have a debate about it.
Yeah, maybe it'll get spicy.
I'm
I
curious
just.
if there's other things behind the scenes that we don't know about that she said that are kind of sus, but
Who do you think? I mean, Ben Shapiro is leagues above Candace Owens in the intelligence department.
That's a racist thing for you to say.
I mean, it's a fact.
I know, I'm just joking.
I don't think Candace Owens is some intellectual heavyweight. I think she's just, you know, she knows how to play the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. We briefly talked about this when I was talking to Jesse, and he said he kind of equated Candace to Trump, where that it's not like some Machiavellian 4D chess, 10D chess move, but she has very good like intuitions
instincts. Yeah.
And I think that is true. That she definitely does, because she definitely has good ways of framing things. Her conversation with Destiny, to me, was very showing, because I think that she did really horrible in the debate.
Oh, yeah.
That she basically just tried to Kathy Newman him. So I am curious, and I agree with you. It seems like Ben Shapiro could definitely run circles around her in terms of a debate performance. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting.
Well, I thought Ben Shapiro kind of ran circles around Destiny. Even with the Trump stuff, like Trump getting a third term, Destiny was like, oh man, mm-hmm. he was so out to lunch on all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, look, Destiny destroys Candace. Well, I don't know if Ben destroyed Destiny. Obviously, it was a good conversation. Destiny got a lot of, like, he got the Jordan Peterson conversation after doing the Ben Shapiro conversation, which was just smart. Smart in a Candace Owens way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Moving up the conservative food chain.
Right.
All right.
Kenrick 50 for $20. Thank you so much. Says the worst part of this quote hiring based on names argument is that you get the same kind of discrimination against redneck sounding names. No one is calling Cletus or Billy Joe back for an interview. Yeah, I know there was that study, and it does make sense. And we talked about this in more at length, about like what names signify and, you know, how people perceive them through the lens, not necessarily of race, but also the lens of kind of like
class,
right? And often very much like, are you trying to fit in with society? Are your parents trying to make you fit in society? Are your parents trying to sort of like make you different or special, right? Now, white people do this too, to some extent. They'll spell a bunch of names like Cody or whatever in like wacky ways, but.
Yeah, any company, I mean, if you're hiring for a company, you're literally looking for a team player. Like, you're not looking for some individualist, entrepreneur, artist type, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Any, are there more?
Metalface Rose for $5 says, are you going to cover the Hello Future Me random film talk Little Platoon controversy? What is the controversy? Sure. When I Googled it, I got a video from a day ago. It says, random film talk is CinemaSins run by Matt Walsh. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh.
That's the accusation. I don't know anything about these channels. So.
I don't want to defend Matt Walsh. I can't stand Matt Walsh. So.
No. Yeah. But it sounds like they're using it to, like, they're attacking someone by comparing him to Matt Walsh.
Oh, okay.
Right. Reclusive for 16 months says, DEI actually stands for division, exclusion, and inequity, or didn't earn it. There you go. To raise collective race consciousness and hire their fellow ideologues. Yeah, I think didn't earn it is a very devastating rhetorical thing to label DEI as.
Didn't earn it? Yeah.
Metalface, send me the video if you have one on Twitter.
I never heard that before, but the didn't earn it. Every time I see DEI, I'm going to think didn't earn it.
Yeah, it was...
it's like devastating.
It was... one of the Fox News people said it.
Okay. Yeah, that's
I think Greg
Gutfeld
came up with it or something, but it was pretty good. Or he repeated it.
That's the problem. You're really, this DEI stuff is perpetuating racist stereotypes, the thing that the left is supposedly has been fighting against for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why? Why?
Stock for $5 says, I've heard that housing estimate thing was investigated. Turned out the housing market fluctuates. Explain the difference. Needs checking.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the thing about these appraisals can be as much as like $500. So it's like getting three appraisals is kind of outrageous. So sure, I could see where people are like, oh, just get a new appraisal, right? Well, okay, but.
But it's the Joe Rogan problem where he says, like, okay, you get pulled over by the police officer, an asshole to you, and you're like, why was that guy such an asshole to me? What's going on? Maybe he had a bad day. But if you're not white, you can think, oh, he's probably racist, right?
Yeah, of
So
course.
you never know. Gino's Coon for 19 months says, not gonna lie, I didn't think Joel bringing Roseanne up proves Ricky Gervais wrong about female comedians.
That's
Best
hilarious.
classes, best classes. There you
That is
go.
good. That is
Yeah.
good.
That was funny because even like, if you look at like old Sarah Silverman bits, she was like super edgy and
Oh yeah.
raunchy,
Oh yeah.
in ways in which obviously she's not anymore and doesn't feel comfortable doing anymore because of sort of the woke atmosphere. So,
Yeah, she wants those movie roles and she knows it's
yeah.
going to interfere with her ascendance. The Roseanne clips got our video demonetized or completely ineligible for monetization.
Interesting.
We
Well, I guess
got
the
the
same thing happened to
red.
Joel, so.
Yeah. Okay. He says in the video several times he's trying to get it monetized, so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Mayo Riot for $5 is still waiting for your Rumble channel.
Yeah, Rumble has done
Taking
something where
off.
you can't even simulcast now. So
Oh,
people,
really?
it's like even more work. Yeah, you got to download the stream and upload it to Rumble after the fact. So you might be waiting
Huh.
a long time.
That's interesting. 'Cause yeah, I think people do it, but they have like multiple computers. You have to have like multiple computers running to do it or something
Right.
wacky like that. Yeah.
Look, I get it. You hate YouTube because of the censorship, but I
Right.
mean,
Ralt of Givia for 10 months says, I had a stress dream last night that my wife and I bought a house, but the comic shipped out to our old address and I never received it.
look, you have my word. If that
That's
happens,
hilarious.
I'll send you another copy,
That's
okay?
hilarious.
I'm not gonna dick anyone out of their comic.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Buttleface Rose for $5 says, it's always stressful to watch Brianna interact with Coleman. She's so condescending to him.
What? Really?
I don't remember.
Oh,
Is
okay,
that the
good.
name of the lady on The View, or are you talking about Brianna Greyjoy? I don't
Yeah.
remember their conversation. Did they talk?
I'm
Did we
sure they
cover
probably
that?
have talked. Sure, they
They did
probably
talk,
have talked.
right?
Yeah.
How do I not remember it? How do we not cover this?
Yeah.
This feels like something we should have covered.
He's doing the tour for his book. Maybe it's recent. Maybe they just had another
How do I
conversation.
just Google
So.
it? There's a conversation that they had 2 years ago, looks like. So.
There's one, Brianna Greyjoy's video today is with guess who? Guess who? And oh man, the thumbnail is so infuriating because they both have these like very smug smiles.
Oh
It's
no.
Finkelstein.
Oh God,
Like they just
awful,
have a
terrible.
fucking 2-hour hug fest.
Of course, yeah,
She
of course.
loves Finkelstein. Oh
I
my
know.
God, he's like the best.
Ralt of Givia for $5 says, but when I woke up, I remembered that could never happen because even with a third job, I could never afford to buy a house. Phew, what a relief.
Oh my God, I
Terrible.
fucking. That kills me every time.
Hail the Free Voice for $5 says, hey, I missed you guys. You should watch Brianna argue with Matt Taibbi. I did see
I
that.
watched
It
that,
was
yeah.
uncomfortable because Matt is very bad at articulating himself in that conversation. I don't know why. He's
Yeah.
like super like knocked off balance, but it was kind of funny. Hail the Free Voice for another $5 says, it's really funny. Bree goes full Norm Finkelbot. Matt deconstructs her and the whole comment is basically calling Bree full of crap. Glad you guys are back. Well, I'll give it another shot. Maybe. I mean, I'm not a big Matt fan either, so maybe I
I
was too
wanted to
biased.
look at some of the comments on this video
I feel like
because
usually the comments are against her, in my experience, whenever,
no, I was talking
when
about
she's
the
talking about
Trump
it.
video, the Trump
Oh.
like wa threading the abortion needle,
Mm-hmm.
but all the comments are Trump 2024, New Yorkers for Trump, Donald Trump 2024, now he's the real president. No
Right.
vaccines, no mutilations, no babies in tubes. Oh, wait, this one. No abortion, chemical or surgical. So there's one, but it's only 20 upvotes. So I'm voting for Trump in 2024.
Hail the
Is
Free Voice,
this?
thanks so much for joining the Free Will Seekers. And Moondoggy for $5 says, Adam, you got me saying to my friends, quote, it's always cold in the basement.
I hope those friends aren't in the basement, locked in the basement, wanting to get out. So.
There you
That
go.
one clicks. That's the click. You know, when
Right.
you surprise them by saying something surprising, and but there's the click, like, oh, but it makes sense.
Makes okay, let's sense. Let's watch this video, and then we'll I'll read the Streamlabs and any other super chats that come in.
Okay, here we go.
This is Trump releases statement on life. That's what it's called.
And this is like 4 hours ago on his on his YouTube channel. So,
under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased.
So it's interesting. Okay, so Trump totally coming out in favor of IVF.
Yeah. Well, and he's saying Christians are the majority of Christians and conservatives are in favor of IVF.
I would imagine, yeah. And it's interesting because I remember when we talked about this and I said, you know, when they had the story where basically Alabama's abortion law was ruled by a judge that it was so broad that included embryos, right? It included embryos as being considered like children that can't be aborted essentially or destroyed, and so therefore that would make it so onerous for IVF to even exist essentially, because they like to make a bunch of embryos beforehand and then obviously they keep them around and then they get rid of them if, you know, they don't end up using them, and it would make IVF very difficult, if not impossible, or very, very, very expensive to actually do. I'm going in for Alabama, and this is what a court ruled. And it was interesting because I said this was like incredibly retarded, and there were some people, not most people, but there were a couple of people that were trying to argue in favor of keeping it that way. But here's Trump kind of coming out and saying, you know, taking, I think, the smart political stance, because if the Republican Party or Trump came out against IVF or agreed with sort of the phrasing of the Alabama Supreme Court, it would be such a unpopular decision. I think it would completely really, really harm his chances of winning the election.
Yeah, this is really, really smart. And the framing of it is really smart. He frames it in terms of strong families, which obviously is going to, like, the idea of IVF, many conservatives might be against, but he's framing it in a way that they're like, you know, they put themselves against something that they're in favor of, strong families, by being right against it. So that's great framing. Also, the social proof aspect of it. And I don't know if this is true or not, but when he comes out and says the majority of Christians and conservatives and Republicans and all this are in favor of IVF,
right,
like that puts you at odds. Like it's very, with leaving that out of there, it's very easy for you to say, oh, well, he's just, everyone disagrees with him. But he's like, no, everyone disagrees with you, bitch.
Right, right, yeah.
So kind of brilliant. I don't know if Trump wrote this or what. It's obviously scripted, so. But this is a really smart statement here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies. And that's what we are. IVF is an important.
Oh, so the law, I looked it up. The law, it's kind of interesting because they don't actually address the question. The law doesn't address the question of whether embryos are considered life.
Persons?
Yeah, or persons.
Oh.
What they did was this weird kind of thing where they basically just said that IVF clinics and people performing IVFs properly are immune to civil and criminal prosecution and liability.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I was like, that's so, it was like a weird
that's
workaround.
Not good. That's yes. Not a good workaround. What if what if they put the wrong baby in the wrong woman?
No. But it has to be like intern, like it was like written in such a way, and maybe this will cause problems, is like they're immune to criminal and civil liabilities regarding this question specifically.
Oh, the personhood question?
It wasn't okay. Like, so you could, like, if they fuck up, you can still sue them, supposedly. I mean, it'll be interesting if this is interpreted to give them more broader protection, but
yeah,
that's
look,
supposed to be
their
job.
they leave the freezer off and kill all your embryos. That's going to be, I mean, you should be able to sue them for that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like totally messed up.
Right. Yeah. But it shouldn't, I don't think it should be, considered like they just murdered a bunch of babies, right? Like, should be conceptualized differently, you know?
It is. I mean, but it's an interesting quandary. Yeah.
Right. That is funny. They didn't, the Alabama legislature didn't address the actual philosophical question because they didn't want to, right?
Yeah. How can you really?
Yeah. I mean, well, you can. They can't in the position that they're in. But
yeah, part of that in our
right,
our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended.
I don't know. You must be muted, but is Trump turning into a black man? I feel like someone
What do you mean?
I feel like something went a little haywire with
the color balance. I mean, the color balance looks kind of off today in that video. In this video.
Oh, okay.
But did you know that? Did you know that all legal scholars wanted Roe v. Wade overturned? I didn't know that.
That line made me question the most Christians are in favor of IVF.
Yeah, line. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because like, you took it too far. Now, like, that's not a credible statement. Right. All legal scholars? Come on. Right. Yeah. This is Trump. He always takes it too far. Look, you had a brilliant intro. Now you took it too far.
Right.
Damn it.
Be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept.
How do you have an abortion after the baby's born, Sitch? Tell me that.
Well, you just take the baby out and then you just kill it.
Oh, man.
You just murder it, right? That's the after it's born abortion.
That's a little strange.
No, but, this is, even though, like, what he's saying is kind of, it's silly in terms of that both sides have, like, ridiculous extreme positions. It's smart messaging, and it's smart, maybe it's smart, I don't know if it's going to work, because basically what he's trying to say in, like, a weird roundabout way is, like, the IVF stuff is crazy, and remember, the Democrats are supposed to have the crazy position on abortion, not us. That's kind of what he's trying to, I think, say without saying it. I don't know if that will work, but we'll see.
Except of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is. The baby is born, the baby is executed after birth.
Oh, come on!
Yeah, that's what they, listen, they take, when the baby's, after it's born, they put a little blindfold on it, and they get a cigarette, and they get the firing squad ready, and they, you know.
Oh, why? This is what turns so many people away from politics. Why must our politics be like the, like, Biden talking about the fascist MAGA Republicans,
mm-hmm.
and Trump talking about the execution of babies?
Yeah, I know, right? This is, listen, you guys don't know this. I used to work at an abortion clinic. Okay.
Run. Oh, no, really?
It was run by George Soros, actually. And what we would do is when the babies were born and they still wanted an abortion after it was born, we had like a giant like catapult and we'd skeet shoot with the babies, right?
Oh,
you go,
no.
Oh! And you know, if the woman paid extra.
That's not really execution style. You think execution is more bullet to the back of the head, but.
Well, it's more fun this way. If the woman paid more, you know, she would get to be the one to fire and like blow up the baby after we, you know, launched it. So.
Oh my God. No. Is that punching up?
No. Well, I mean, that's the problem. People say you shouldn't punch down and babies are so small that you have to. So I figured if we launch them in like a catapult so they're up in the air, it's like you're shooting up. So that's where it makes it okay. Yeah.
Now it's punching up, right?
Right, right.
Is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart, or in many cases, your religion or your faith.
Go ahead.
I'll just say, so it's interesting. This is Trump punting, as I think we both predicted he would do, because I think it's the smartest play here, is to punt and say, listen, just let the states decide. I don't want to deal with this. The federal government doesn't want to deal with the abortion question whatsoever.
It's just, the federal government is going to have to deal with it sooner or later, because you're going to have people going to different states. Then the states are going to come up with laws making it illegal to go to the
next
state.
They've already done
it.
Yeah, Texas is trying to do that. Yeah.
So it's a mess.
I think the Supreme Court and federal government could rule that those laws are illegal.
They're unconstitutional. They definitely are.
Yeah, it makes no sense that you could prevent a citizen going through a different state and doing something that's legal in a state.
You're a prisoner of Texas?
Right. So I think they'll rule that those laws are illegal, but in terms of each state could do, I guess, whatever they want, essentially. So
the federal government's going to have to get involved sooner or later. Yeah.
I mean, eventually you would presume that there's going to have to be some federal law that will be passed about this question, but I think we're pretty far away from that. So, because the Republicans, Trump is definitely signaling he doesn't want to deal with this. I think the Republicans don't actually want to deal with it, because they're smart enough to know if they did do a federal law, I think it would definitely backfire.
Of course, yeah. And the Democrats are already saying they're going to go for a federal abortion ban. So it's wise for him.
You mean a federal abortion? Oh, the Democrats are saying the Republicans are going to go for a federal abortion.
Yeah, the Democrats are accused. Right. That's why Trump is saying this now, because he's basically saying, we're not going for a federal abortion ban. Look, it's up to the states.
Right. And the Democrats would try to pass federal law in trying to protect it, but I don't think they'll ever get enough people in the House and Senate and the presidency at the same time in order to actually get that passed, probably.
Right. I mean, but this is probably a better path. Let it be worked out slow over time by legislatures and not the courts.
Yeah, I mean, in the long run, obviously it's going to cause problems for people that live in various states.
Not but California.
I do think
your 7-year-old in California.
There you go. As you should. get the catapult. But I think this is, from a strategic standpoint, I guess this probably makes the most sense, and probably why we predicted that he would say this. I don't think too many of the people that are like the diehard pro-lifers are going to, I don't think they're going to dock Trump for this.
They want to win too.
Yeah,
badly.
I don't think anyone's going to like not vote for Trump that's a pro-lifer just because of this statement.
And Trump has given them an out by saying, look, if you're not going to vote for me, you're basically voting for the baby killers.
Right. So, yeah. They want to kill the babies after they're already born. Crap. Yep. Yeah. Right.
Right for your family, and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country, and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle.
All the people who will be deciding the next election, I would like to pre-thank.
Battle over Roe v. Wade. Took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother.
How do you like that? That's great.
He's like Ronald Reagan.
No, he's basically saying, look, I'm just doing what Reagan did.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Reagan. Don't hate on me.
Right. No, it's funny.
It's good, man. This is smart politics.
You must follow your heart of this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Wow. So do you see anything? Is there anything from Biden that you think is equally smart as far as political? This is a problem.
Messaging-wise? Like, no, not remotely.
Yeah. A lot of people will misconstrue us just saying what Trump is doing is smart politics as like, we endorse Trump. We're in favor of this. Look,
I'm not voting for Trump, but no, obviously this is smart politics. You have a situation where basically the Republicans in Alabama look insane and ridiculous because basically you have IVF embryos are considered babies. And yet he past that is the Democrats are the ones with the crazy position because they want to abort babies up until the moment of birth, which is true in some states, which I do think is a crazy position, but also they want to kill babies after they're already born, you know? So yeah. He's like, it's the Democrats that are the crazy ones. So, and then to put himself as, you know, kind of the, I have the same position as Reagan, let the states decide. It's all smart politicking. I think it will only help him. I don't think this will hurt him at all.
Yeah, I completely agree. Let's look. Someday we're going to see something out of Biden that's this politically astute, right?
Well, it's interesting. So, like, I don't know what would be the, like, okay, so, like, Biden has this big issue right now with Israel. He has this big issue right now with the economy. He has this big issue right now with
immigration. Yep.
I'm not sure what kind of statement he could say that would be similar to this that would help him with any of those issues. Like, it's always easier for the person who's not the president to make a statement because, like, Trump makes a statement, but he doesn't actually have to do anything, right? It's just a statement.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
About what he has to do. Where Biden, if he makes a statement on any of those three topics that are hurting him, people expect him to do something about it, right?
Once I'm president, I will end the war in Gaza. Wait a second, you are president.
Right. So, you know, I mean, I think Biden's stupid for not trying to do an executive order on immigration. I do think it's going to bite him in the ass. I think he's too worried about, like, the woke people.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's in an impossible situation. Maybe either way he'd hurt. But so we'll see. It is going to be an interesting election.
Of course. Yeah, no, things are going to be heating up here. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess we're going on to Super Chats.
Yeah. Soul Doge for 2 hours says, a question for Adam and only Adam. No well poisoning. Adam, when you think of the week beginning, the first day of the week, what day comes to mind?
Sunday.
Soul Doge exposed himself on Twitter that he's actually not American. I don't even know how he's in the military. He's actually not American. He's a secret foreigner. Okay, did you know this?
No, really?
He's a secret foreigner. Yeah, he thought that the day of the week started on Monday.
Yeah, look, I've been looking at calendars my entire life.
Yeah, it's always Sunday. Always in America, in other countries, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Which I don't, so people were saying is weird. They said it started in the 70s. I'm not familiar with the history of that, but I know in other European countries, that's not the case. In other countries, it's not the case. So there you go. Soul Doge outed as a fake American. He didn't even know the day of the week started on Sunday. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible. Next, he'll be talking about kilometers. Then we'll really know.
Oh, shit. The old KMs. No way. Yep. No way. Miles or die.
He starts talking about how the temperature is in Celsius, and we're like, okay, red flag. Death by Sloth for $2 says, the left has abstract ideas to improve the world. Idea is the... what is this word? Concretized? I've never seen that word before.
Maybe like...
concretized. Concretized. To make real, give specific or definite form. Interesting. To concretize...
oh, it makes it concrete. There you go.
Right. I mean, I get, yeah, it makes it concrete. I get that. Idea is then concretized to reality and implemented. The left, quote, no, you're doing it wrong. It worked perfectly in my head. Repeat ad infinitum. Yeah. I mean, that's essentially what happens. That's why I like the Lewis Black joke. The Republicans are the party of no ideas. Democrats are the party of bad ideas. You have an idea. It goes into practice. It doesn't work out the way you thought. And then they get mad and they say, well, we have to try it again. This time it will be different. This time it will be better. So. You actually have to take in information when you try something and alter your your practice going forward in the future based on how it worked in reality, which a lot
this
of people
is
don't want to
why,
do.
You know, I guess maybe science is an ideology, but science is the ideology, because if you're just taking the evidence in and making adjustments, that's fine. So many ideologies, though, incorporate this narrative component that kind of frames the facts in ways that are counterproductive.
Right. Slug Pajor says it actually doesn't matter at all whether qualification standards are lowered. It doesn't matter which group you pick, even if it's the one with the statistical best abilities. If you prioritize an arbitrary group characteristic over merit, you will necessarily pick candidates who are not the best you could have picked sooner or later. It's borderline mathematical certainty, only avoided if magically all, as if in every last one of them, is the best available people happen to be from the same group. That's true. That's completely true.
I mean, how is it any different than the aristocracy, just picking people based on their birthright?
Right.
That's the same fucking thing.
The problem, Slug, is like, I understand what you're saying, and people just, they don't get that. Like, we need a good video, and if you've seen one, you know, send it to me. That's like someone just like bringing up like a math, you know, a maths to say like, listen, if you do this, this is just how it's going to work out. Because like people get it intuitively, but the people that are ideologically motivated refuse to get that, and they'll just call you racist. But you're completely correct. Stalter, Stalter and Waldorf. Isn't their names different? No, it's Statler and Waldorf. Okay. Oh, those are two Muppet guys. You know, like they got the old guys that sit in like the top of the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No. Oh yeah, and the Muppets?
Yeah, they always make fun of whatever they're watching.
Okay.
Did you hear? Sitch and Adam didn't stream for a whole week. I know. We finally had some peace and quiet. Too bad they had to ruin it by streaming on Sunday. Oh ho 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 ho. There you go.
Okay.
I don't get it. What's the joke? Was it the joke because the week starts on Sunday?
No, I'm not sure.
I expect better. I expect better. But thank you for the attempt. Dr. Dillon for $2 says, just finished the part in Thinking Fast, Slow about base rates. If you only had names, the base rates of white names is just higher than black names. Need more information to make a good judgment. Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see people would make those judgments if that's all the information they have. So I don't think that's really like a good study, but let's see.
Are those Streamlabs, I guess?
Those were the Streamlabs.
Oh, okay.
Moondoggy for $5 says, I read that one. Telgore for $5 says, you guys should watch the Woke Bros chapter from Hello Future Me's Rings of Power review.
We'll check it out.
Send it to me.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, if you guys ever have a video, my DMs are open. It'll just send me a video on X and I'll watch it. Where I was looking for content. Telgore for $5 says, just want to say thank you guys for all the awesome content. You've got me through some tough days. A-Team reigns supreme. Well, there you go. Thanks, Telgore. Even though he's A-Team.
Thanks. You're so demoralized.
I know. The Justice 35 for $10 says, these people don't understand the value of personal responsibility. I worked super hard and lost 90 pounds to finally get on the transplant list and off dialysis. I credit S-Class being best class tasks. Wow, that's true. That's amazing.
That is
well, there
great.
You go. Listen, I'm proud of you. That's great.
Wow.
I'm glad you got off of dialysis. That's amazing. Good for you. Look at that.
Must be looking for a kidney.
Yeah.
That's great. No, I'm glad you like our content.
Metal Face Rose for $5 says, it's a new Breaking Points criticizing Coleman Hughes' JRE interview. Oh, I must have missed that one.
The Israel stuff.
That's right. Coleman Hughes actually had a pretty good point about Israel, where he was saying that if you basically allow Hamas to do this without destroying them, you're just incentivizing this sort of behavior where you just attack and then hide behind your citizens forever. And that's mm-hmm. kind of part of the difficulty of saying, we'll just do a ceasefire, just, you know, do all this stuff. The collateral damage isn't worth it, which I get, but also you have to acknowledge that you're creating a situation where you'll just allow this behavior to continue forever. So,
mm-hmm.
which they don't really talk about. So yeah, no, he had a very good point. Suck for $2 says hashtag Mongteb.
Yeah, what's that all about?
What does that even mean? I don't get it. RBGH fan for $5 says, do you all think Biden lost a lot of votes when Blinken said Ukraine would join NATO soon, with many people who have sons aged 18 to 25?
Ooh, that's interesting.
It's possible. I don't think he lost a lot of votes because I think only the people that weren't going to vote for him are going to be mad about that. I think most of, I only heard a couple commentary that was actually good. I think most of the people's political pundits' commentary on that topic was right, was really stupid, because people forget that these sorts of foreign disputes are, should be looked at through the lens of like you're making a deal, right? And if so, Russia wants a deal where they're going to make eventually some peace where with Ukraine, that, you know, they're going to say, okay, we're going to not attack you anymore, but you have to promise not to join NATO, right? If that's what you're going to do, then obviously you have to keep them joining NATO is to be on the table as a bargaining chip. You can't remove it, right? Like, how stupid would it be if America came out and said, Ukraine's not going to join NATO? Well, then you just remove that bargaining chip from the peace process at the end of the day, right? Now you're going to keep saying, of course they're going to join NATO. Of course they're going to join NATO. So that when you finally make the peace agreement, you can give it to Russia and say, okay, they're not going to join NATO. Like, to me, it's very obvious that's how these things work. And I guess it's not discussed in that way. It's just, it's not viewed at through like a deal-making process, which is the way you have to look at it. So, and also the other thing that could be too is that Putin is seeming to me is going to be waiting till the election before he makes any sort of agreement in case Trump wins. And maybe he thinks he can get a better deal from Trump. And so that's also playing into the what's kind of going on here too. That's always like kind of this positioning that's going on in these global conversations.
You think Putin is stalling until after the election? Yes. For?
Yes.
He's basically trying to hold out in Ukraine.
I think it's very unlikely that any sort of peace agreements will be made or talked about in like reality until the election. So, okay, because he's waiting to see what will happen. So,
right.
Jacob Lloyd for $20 says, enjoy the super chat while the sun is 75 eclipse on my state. Wish me luck because I'm waiting to hear back from the state government on whether I make the second round of interviews on to be a legislative assistant. Well, that's awesome.
That is awesome. Wow.
There you go.
Sweet.
Okay. Well, that's it.
All right. Are we done for the day?
We're done.
All right. You got some time to get out and set up your
Everyone can go look at the eclipse. If you have special glasses, do not do the Trump squint.
Right. I got my special glasses right here.
Oh, God. Stop it.
How do I turn my thing off? Here we go. Perfect. Will these work, Sitch? No. Are these good?
They're not going to work, Adam.
These aren't going to work? I feel like they would. These are perfect.
No.
All right. Take care, you guys.
Take care. See you guys tomorrow.
Bye-bye.